Looking for a new 1500 Silverado? Shop Beatty Chevrolet and get 2.9% APR for 72 months on a new 1500 Silverado. Or if you want a new vehicle and a Chevy Equinox LT fits your lifestyle, check out Beatty Chevrolet's lease option on a 24 Equinox for only $325 a month. And as always, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life. Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive. Online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Beatty Chevrolet, locally owned and operated for over 90 years.
Welcome into the start of hour number three of Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. A lot to get to. Braden Gall coming up at 2:30. I'll have a pop-up fact for you here at the end of the segment and an injury update. Number of injuries to pay attention to. It's fantasy football regular season crunch time here, Heather. So an update on a few key players as you get ready to set your lineups for this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, super excited. It is crunch time. You got to pay attention to COVID lists. You got to pay attention to injury lists.
Yes.
Is there any opt-outs we should be aware of? So a lot going on in that regard. But, the NFL season kind of winding down towards the last 5 weeks. Some teams only with four games. Forever, we said, man, there's still a long way to go. There's still a long way to go. Now we're at the point where, man, there's not a long way to go.
Yeah, not that much time left.
Yeah. So it is wild how it has flipped all of a sudden. But
this weekend's slate of games, not the most exciting from a matchup standpoint.
It's been like that a couple of weeks in the NFL. I mean, you go back to Thanksgiving was pretty good. There were some, and then it was all spread out, you know, over several days. But even before that, there was a lackluster week in the NFL. And then, of course, going up against championship weekend, I think they do that on purpose last weekend where it was just kind of an afterthought because everybody was paying attention to college.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that they will all be awful games, not necessarily at all. But in terms of the matchups, we have on Sunday one game featuring two teams with winning records. That's the Bills and the Buccaneers. And then Monday night, that's a good one, Rams-Cardinals. That should be a lot of fun.
And what is it? It's the Packers and Bears this weekend. That's the Sunday night primetime matchup. And everybody's like, man, flex that off the screen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Bears have been one of my choices many times when we talk about who needs to return, because the Bears being good is fun, and Bears-Packers can be a lot of fun, but not this version of the Bears. So Aaron Rodgers has told them this year, I own you, and he will go in as a 12.5-point favorite against Chicago on Sunday night.
And he has backed that up. There's some really interesting teams. You know, you still got the Chargers 7-5, Bengals 7-5. Trying to gain ground. Both of them are playing winnable games. I mean, the Bengals, 49ers, Chargers, Giants. Chargers should win that one. They're a 10.5-point favorite. I think the Bengals are underdogs, but they're playing at home, so that'll be interesting. Like, I mean, there's some really cool teams that we haven't talked a ton about over the past couple of years that are working their way into the conversation. I think the biggest example is the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, the fact that they are a 10-win team and Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins are healthy and coming back. That's been one of the biggest surprises. You know me, I was huge bullish on Kyler Murray last year. They fell just short as he had an injury in just a couple of weeks where he was not performing very well. Mm-hmm. But this year, I really didn't see that coming. And to this level, I thought they would be good. I didn't think they'd be 10-2 good.
Yeah. And you know, the Rams the last few weeks, we've wondered, okay, how good are they?
Yeah.
They played well this past week, but they played against the Jaguars. So what do you make of that? This is going to be a big game on Monday with the Rams against the Cardinals.
You know, people who like to tinker and people who can like actually physically build things, I think if you ask them, can you work on something too much and then mess it up? That could be what's happening with the Rams, where they just keep adding these little pieces. You know, Odell Beckham is all of a sudden available. Let's go try him. Let's try this piece. Let's try this piece. I just wonder if they're going to get so in the weeds of trying to win this thing that they end up not winning it because they've messed it up.
Well, two people that have started to get a little criticism, Sean McVay, head coach of this team with all this talent, and the results haven't shown up immediately, and then their quarterback, Matthew Stafford. That'll be a big game for him against Kyler Murray on Monday. If you look at his numbers compared to Jared Goff's numbers last year for the Rams, you're not going to find much of a difference.
Yeah.
So of course, the head coach and the quarterback, they're going to get a ton of the credit at the beginning of the season when they had a fast start. People said, "All right, McVay and Stafford, look at this combo." Now that they're not playing quite as well, they start to get some criticism and some questions. So if they play well on Monday and then win the game, then it will reverse course again. And all the conversation will be, hey, they're starting to click. Look at this team. So that's the beauty of it. And it'll be on display on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, Matt Stafford, he had the turnovers versus Green Bay that ended up costing him. And then there was another game, I can't remember who it was, but remember his wife got in a fight in the stands, or at least like threw a pretzel at somebody?
That's right.
So
pretzel
good.
Toss.
Yeah. It might have been the 49ers when they played the 49ers, and that was just eye-opening. So when they lost the three in a row, the Titans, the 49ers, and the Packers, mm-hmm. you were just like, okay, what is going on here? Something's got to get figured out. So I wonder, you've tried this grand experiment. It looked great on paper. It hasn't looked great over the past month on the field. So what happens?
Yeah. Think about this. Since the Rams and really impressive win against the Buccaneers, here are the wins for the Rams. The Seahawks, which Russell Wilson got hurt.
Yeah, terrible.
The Giants, the Lions, the Texans, and the Jaguars.
None of those are playoff teams.
No. A couple of them, we need to examine if they're NFL teams.
Yeah, most notably the Texans, who are like trading their best. They just opened up their best linebacker. They're
Zach
like,
Cunningham,
here, somebody, somebody come get him. We're waving the white flag, homies. We're done.
So, we got some questions here, okay, about the competition.
Does that fall into the fool's gold category?
Let's discuss on Tuesday.
Okay.
We'll get a better idea. If they go out and play well against the Cardinals, even if they lose the game, but if they play well, then you feel a lot better. If they have a stinker like they had against the Titans and against the 49ers, against the Packers, then I think you're really concerned. If they win the game, they're going to win the Super Bowl. So so we've got all that. A wide range of outcomes, I would say.
Yeah, wide range of outcomes, and I'm excited for this time of year. Like, college football had its crown jewel moments, and it was everything we wanted: rivalry weekend and then championship weekend. So for 2 weeks in a row, at least personally in my life, I was 100% focused on college football. And now to have the refocus of the NFL being back as my number one, like on power polls and things like that, I'm just excited for it, because we talked about it in the face-off. There's still some teams that are in this thing.
A lot of teams,
there are still some teams that, man, a couple of moves here or there, and they could be in the playoffs, whereas a few weeks ago, you would have laughed at the Steelers potentially still being alive. And I think it's still a long shot, don't get me wrong, but if you're bringing legacy and everything into it, it would be the most Mike Tomlin thing and Ben Roethlisberger thing for them to make it to the playoffs. Not do anything in the playoffs, but just make it as Ben is. This is going to be his last season.
Well, I would like to say, considering their history, the most Tomlin and Roethlisberger thing would be winning the Super Bowl. They're not going to do that this year, but
no,
they're Hall of Famers, right? So I would think that's their most insert their names thing.
I think
paying respect to them.
And if that sounded disrespectful, then I definitely need to rephrase. But Mike Tomlin has been this pillar, in my opinion, of a high level of consistency.
Yeah,
and he is so poop emojied on by their fans, it drives me nuts. They're like, the team has no discipline. Like, Tomlin's got to go. What is he? When's the last time he won a Super Bowl? And I'm like, listen, guys. Do you know there are a handful of coaches that nobody would ever trade off of their team, and he's one of them.
Yeah,
so,
there are Bama fans that think Saban's done. So
and then he has to yell at them and get them refocused before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, the rap poison wasn't just from the media. It was from the fans last week. They helped out, too. Before we close out this segment, let's hit today's pop-up fact. Quick step back in history. As Heisman voting has taken place, Heather, we have our finalists set for this year's award. It was on this date in 2007, Tim Tebow became the first sophomore to win the Heisman. And then in 2012, remember this guy, Johnny Manziel, became the first freshman, redshirt, to win the Heisman Trophy. Same date, 5 years apart, Tim Tebow, Johnny Manziel, and the Mania would be the one thing that was consistent between the two of them. As people, quite different.
Yeah.
Both very good in college. Didn't work out in the pros for different reasons as well. But the amount of attention that came with Tim Tebow and with Johnny Football, high with both.
Yes, high with both. And what is the common denominator? Both from the SEC. Hashtag just means more down here, man. You want to win awards? You want to win games? you want to make a lot of money, come to the SEC. That's what that tells me. But yeah, remember when Tim Tebow was in the running and people were like, a sophomore can't win the Heisman Trophy. Then you fast forward, it's like, oh, we're going to one-up that, and a freshman's going to win it. It's wild times.
Did you see Bryce Young say that the first Heisman he really remembers watching, RG3, and he even acknowledged that probably makes me sound really young. And he is. He's in college.
Yeah, he is. That for me, the biggest one of the biggest Heisman campaigns I remember when I really started focusing on football was Ricky Williams when he was in the running for it. And just golly, what a stud that guy was at Texas. Unreal.
Quote that makes me sound pretty young, probably.
Did he know who Britney Spears was?
Yeah, she's been in the news, on the magazines. That is the pop-up fact. It's presented by Burton McKinnish Law.
Burton McKinnish Law with offices in Maryville, Sevierville, Western North Carolina, and Southeastern Kentucky. So if you have legal troubles looming, divorce, criminal defense, DUI, Social Security, or personal injury, it's time for you to trust Burton McKinnish Law. A good attorney will make the difference in your case. Visit burtonmckinnish.com.
Okay, we have some fantasy updates, including for tomorrow night's game with the Steelers and the Vikings. Big NFL weekend coming up. We'll update you when we come back here. Who's benched or battle ready thanks to Benchmark Physical Therapy. And then Braden Gall will join us to talk college football at 2:30 on Sports 180 on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Thanks for being with us here on Sports 180. We will be with you until 3 o'clock. That's when Sports Talk will take over. We have, 5 weeks to go? Is that what you said there in the NFL season, Heather? The regular season?
Yes.
It is about to be go time. Trying to figure out playoff situations. Fantasy football owners are trying to figure out, okay, who's in, who's out with the playoffs right around the corner. It's the final regular season week for a lot of leagues out there. So, look at who's benched or battle ready. We'll have some updates on players who could affect your fantasy teams. Adam Thielen would be one of those guys. He's a quality wide receiver in an offense that is pretty good, and he was injured this past Sunday in the Vikings game in the loss against the Lions. He's out tomorrow. Thursday night football is the Vikings versus the Steelers. Adam Thielen will be out. Dalvin Cook is questionable. Alexander Mattison, pretty good player, if Cook cannot go. But Adam Thielen out tomorrow night. Dalvin Cook questionable for the Vikings.
Yeah, not good for a Vikings team that has just been struggle bussing as of late. And so Adam Thielen's a major driver, as everybody knows, in that offense. And without him as a weapon, it makes you wonder what Kirk Cousins is going to be able to do. And I'm not meaning to laugh, but that's like taking a big target away from him that was already on a struggling offense. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, quite a loss against the Lions this past weekend, as you know.
Just unreal. Man, sorry for him.
Yep, no doubt. So pay attention there. We'll have more to monitor ahead of tomorrow night's game. It's a big one there between those two teams, the Steelers and the Vikings on Thursday night football. Elsewhere around the league, we've talked about the COVID situation. That's something you have to pay attention to right now. Keenan Allen is in their COVID health and safety protocol. He's questionable this week. He could potentially test out. But Keenan Allen, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, somebody to pay attention to in a good matchup against the New York Giants. If he can't go, fantasy owners out there would miss him. I happen to be one of those. So Keenan Allen, pay attention to his situation. The Titans have designated Julio Jones to return from IR, so we'll continue to monitor his status. They'd like to get Henry back later in the season. Mm-hmm. They still have A.J. Brown on IR. Coming off a bye week, that's a team that definitely could use it this past week. Julio Jones designated to return from injured reserve, as he has not been able to provide much because of injury issues this year.
Yeah, he just hasn't been available at all pretty consistently throughout the year. So you wonder what the next month and a half looks like for him as the Titans. You still expect them to make the playoffs, and we'll see what happens with Derrick Henry and some of those other pieces. But man, the Titans have used a lot of different players this year because of all the different injury situations. It's nice, a nice opportunity too. You had the bye week last week, and then we also touched on it with Joe Rexroad being able to play the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's a nice little warm-up game to get back in the flow of your regular schedule and get back to playing.
Never a bad time for a bye week. Never a bad time to play the Jacksonville Jaguars. Elsewhere in the league, the Cincinnati Bengals have Joe Burrow playing through the pinky injury he suffered this past weekend. I think he said it's feeling a little bit better, but it's on his throwing hand. That's something to pay attention to, as they had a weird game with the Chargers this past Sunday. You also have Joe Mixon, who is not at 100%, but has been a huge part of what they've done offensively. He's dealing with a non-COVID-related illness. So something to monitor. Could that keep him out? That kept Lamar Jackson out a few weeks ago, where he ended up getting sick, not able to play. Wasn't COVID-related, but if he can't play, he can't play. So Joe Mixon worth paying attention to, as they might rely on the running game a little bit more because of the injury situation with Joe Burrow.
Yeah, and the biggest thing, too, right now is the Bengals are holding on to that 7 spot in the AFC standing, so they are a playoff team as of right now, and you would think being an underdog at home to the 49ers, that would be a game that would help them stay in that playoff race as they just need some more wins, so we'll see what happens there, but the Joe Burrow pinky injury, it's a little worrisome for a quarterback who's taking a lot of snaps and playing in cold weather. As that is also just brutal, whether it's your throwing hand or your non-throwing hand.
T. Higgins, Burrow's teammate, he is dealing with an ankle issue, but is not expected to miss time, so a note there. And then their opponent you mentioned, Deebo Samuel, he's day-to-day. They're hopeful he can play. He had to miss last week with a groin injury. He's a big part of what they do offensively. They line him up in the backfield, so he is an important part as a runner and a receiver in that offense.
Yeah, he absolutely is. And anytime he has a big week, he blows up on Twitter. A lot of Deebos on Twitter when he has a big week. So, and the groin injury is just always going to be a tricky one. You can warm up, everything can feel fine, and then you get into play and you tweak it the wrong way, and you could have some problems. As those tend to leave you as just kind of day to day, week to week, in okay, let's see how this thing goes.
Other notes: Sam Darnold, he's resumed throwing, so they'll continue to evaluate him with Carolina Panthers, as they have, of course, brought back Cam Newton. They've had some good, some bad play with Cam since he's returned.
Just fired Joe Brady, their offensive
That's
coordinator,
right.
earlier this week
That's
while
right.
you were out on vacation. That was absolutely wild. So yeah, it's just. I mean, what is Sam Darnold going to be able to do? Now you're coming back from injury. You also don't have your biggest offensive weapon in Christian McCaffrey. It's not a recipe for success going on right now in Carolina.
Yeah. I like Sam Darnold. I don't know that he's going to be that good of a quarterback, but he's not been in the best situations, it seems like, with the Jets or with the Panthers, but part of that's probably his doing as well. But he's also trying to come back from injury. Jamal Adams out for the season. We learned that with the torn labrum. At safety with the Seattle Seahawks. The NBA, some injuries to pay attention to. Luka came back not in the best of shape, so they're trying to get him back in shape while also dealing with a knee issue. The Chicago Bulls, fun times. DeMar DeRozan is out with COVID situation. He's in the health and safety protocols, as is Javonte Green. And Alex Caruso dealing with a hamstring injury. And then Kobe White also tested positive mm-hmm. for COVID. So not the best of situations for the Chicago Bulls. They have a really good record, second best in the Eastern Conference. Underdogs against the Cavs, though, with all the players out.
With all the players out tonight. And DeMar DeRozan has just been absolutely incredible. One thing to pay attention to in the NBA with the different protocols and not knowing who's vaccinated and unvaccinated, you could have some of these guys return more quickly as they are able to test out of protocols, and other guys maybe have to stay out until their projected return dates because of not being vaccinated. So it's just one of those things where everybody is sort of operating on a different spectrum versus if they're vaccinated or not.
Yep. A number of injuries to pay attention to. The Warriors are hoping to have Klay Thompson back in the next few weeks as he is playing some 5-on-5 basketball. The Grizzlies do hope to have Ja Morant back this season, but there's no timetable right now on him returning. The Heat are playing without Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. They're two best players, so that's problematic. So a number of key players around the league, plus Zion Williamson, dealing with a slight delay in his rehab in trying to come back from the foot injury. That's never the update you want to hear with Zion or with his foot injury.
Yeah, no kidding. Especially when you look at him, that's a big, I mean, those feet are important. That is a big man right there that is not on the small side, and they've got a lot of money invested in him. And I would imagine they're just treating him with kid gloves at this point in time to make sure he's 100% over the injury and can return to play.
Yep, and then you have the Warriors against the Blazers tonight. It is not a Steph Curry versus Damian Lillard matchup, though. Dame is going to be out for about 10 days with an abdominal injury. So Steph Curry, fire away from the outside. That is a look at who is benched or about already, thanks to Benchmark Physical Therapy. Find a location near you at benchmarkpt.com. Locations all over the place. At Benchmark Physical Therapy, you can see all the different ways that they can help you with all the different kinds of injuries that they can treat. They've helped me with an IT band issue that I had years ago, and I haven't dealt with anything since I saw the fine people there at Benchmark Physical Therapy, more advanced certified clinicians than anywhere in the area, all different kinds of injuries they can treat for athletes or like me, non-athletes.
Non-athletes that are just wanting to do their thing, right? You want to live pain-free. You want to be able to operate the way you want to on a day-to-day basis. They can help you do that. All the different things that can just happen either around the house or out in a vehicle while you're at work. If you have any sort of injury, get in with Benchmark Physical Therapy. They will go over all of your insurance, and they will be very upfront with what kind of costs that you are looking at. That's definitely important for me and my family. Like, I want to know how much it's going to cost going into everything. And then with all the revolutionary treatments that they have and so many specializations, they are going to find a treatment plan where you are going to get real results right there at Benchmark Physical Therapy.
BenchmarkPT.com. Find a location near you when you go online. We'll come back and talk to Braden Gall from 440 Sports, see what he thinks about the college football playoff matchups, Heisman this week, Tennessee versus Purdue, when we come back here on Sports 180 on 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us with 30 minutes remaining, and then Sports Talk will take over coming up at 3 o'clock. Heather Harrington is here. I'm Josh Ward. As we go to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, to welcome to the show Braden Gall from 440 Sports. Braden, we appreciate the time. Braden's over there in Nashville, where Tennessee and Purdue will play in 22 days, the Music City Bowl. Braden, what do you think? The Vols coming to Nashville to take on Purdue.
Well, as someone who is not a hotel owner in Nashville, I love it. I think it's great. I think it certainly decreases the tourism dollars when Tennessee's in town, but it makes the game so much better. Like, just the stadium atmosphere is going to be great. You know, there's so many people like me who go to the Music City Bowl and cover it pretty routinely, but never get to go as, like, you know, like as a fan. And so I get to, you know, they have the in-laws there. Like, I think it was, what was it, the season opener a couple years ago where they played at Nissan Stadium in a non-conference game. So it's you know, you get to take the mother-in-law and the brother-in-law, and everybody gets to go. And so it's an absolute blast. Ticket prices, you know, skyrocketed. So it's great to have them in town. Again, unless you're maybe a hotel owner, in which case you might rather have, like, you know, Kentucky fans or, you know, Wisconsin fans or whatever, a bunch of people traveling to see the city. But other than that, it's so much fun to have them in town. There's no question about it.
What do you think of the matchup with Purdue? We still don't know, like, when all the dust settles, who's actually going to be playing in the game. But just on paper, what do you think of the matchup?
This is not a cop-out at all in any sense of the imagination. But bowl games are not football games. They are charity events. And so, like, how Josh Heupel's going to call it, how Jeff Brohm's going to call it. Like you said, we have no clue who's actually going to play in the game. Generally, you go for it on fourth down. So I'm not trying to duck, like, the actual matchup. I don't think it's a sexy matchup on paper because Purdue's sort of it's not really a national brand per se. Like, a couple years ago, we had Notre Dame and LSU in a matchup with, like, Leonard Fournette. Like, that's something that, like, is a big, sexy, sellable matchup. But Purdue's a really well-coached team. It's a good test for a Tennessee defense. But again, like, analyzing both with like a real football mind, I like immediately feel dumb about myself because there's just no way, there's just no way to analyze what the coaching staffs are going to do, who's going to play, how it's going to look. I view them almost as spring games, to be honest with you. It's a chance to tailgate, drink beer, celebrate, enjoy your team. If you win, great. If you lose, who cares? And I know that's probably a jaded, cynical, old man way of looking at it, but it's just sort of how I view bowl games that aren't New Year's Six or playoff games.
Yeah, I think it's a little jaded, but I also share the same thought. So I don't.
Birds of a feather.
Yeah, I think that's okay. Just enjoy the experience is what I would say for sure.
Yeah.
But Braden, yeah. Games that matter. The playoff is now set. We're talking to Braden Gall from 440 Sports. So what do you think there with the two matchups, Georgia against Michigan and Alabama coming off that SEC title against Cincinnati?
Yeah, you know, Bama and Cincinnati, we could start there. There are some, like, fun, interesting tidbits that maybe make you think that Cincinnati's got a chance to keep it close. Sort of their style of play. They've got some NFL – they have two NFL corners, which is what you have to have if you're going to match up against, you know, Jameson Williams and Alabama, even without John Metchie now with the torn ACL. So it's hard to see. I, you know, it's hard to see Cincinnati winning that game. So I don't, there's not a whole lot of analysis there. That doesn't mean they don't belong there either. I don't want to hear that. Like, if Alabama wins by 3 touchdowns, people are going to immediately be like, well, this is why you don't put a group of five team in. I'm like, no, you need to say that now. You need to say no, because I don't know who, like, other than Ohio State, I don't see a team, frankly, that gives Alabama a game, to be honest with you. So, it's hard to talk about that matchup. I think the Georgia matchup is fascinating because either what Nick Saban did to, and Bryce Young more specifically, and that offensive line, what they did to Georgia is either exposing Kirby Smart and Georgia for the complete and total frauds that they are at times when Georgia does that to itself, normally at the very end of a season, just like this time, or they have evolved past that and will bounce back and we'll be able to dominate a Michigan offensive line that is very good, but is not better than Georgia. Like, there's not a position group on the field where I look at Michigan and I say, you guys are better than Georgia. And like, Michigan has an unbelievable defensive line that's going to cause a lot of problems for Georgia's offense, in particular when we have a conversation about why hasn't Georgia evolved on offense. So I think it's what that game is going to tell us is going to show us, like, all right, does Georgia and Kirby Smart still have all of the same problems that we thought they had last season, the year before, preseason, even during the season while they're undefeated, where we all said, and I was dead wrong. I was like, listen, I think Georgia's going to, you know, lay the points. I think Georgia wins big. I love being wrong because then I'm surprised. But it means that Georgia fans are right back at square one asking themselves the same exact questions about, you know, this reductive offense that is 2011 Bama. And on our show, Fringe Element, Godfrey asked the question. He says, you know why we call it 2011 Bama is because nobody does it anymore. And the reason nobody does it anymore is because it doesn't work anymore. So I think that's the real question about Georgia is what do we find out in the Michigan game? If Kirby Smart is truly the next coming of Nick Saban and can make Georgia a national championship team, they will beat Michigan easily. If they do not, we saw that Michigan has what it takes to beat an athletic, in-space, dynamic Ohio State team, and that's the same way they would beat Georgia if in theory. I'm leaning Bama-Georgia. I would pick Bama-Georgia. But at this point, knowing Georgia's history of doing this in big games, all bets are off. I can't wait to hear and see what Georgia does in this situation now that they've been very much humbled.
What do you think the next 3 weeks and couple odd days look like, sound like in Athens with the level of scrutiny this team is going to be undergoing? I mean, it's just going to be absolutely wild because nobody's paying attention to the Falcons anymore. So Atlanta Sports Talk Radio is going to be all about the Dogs. Like, how does Kirby handle that? Who he's kind of a bristly guy. And then how does somebody like a Stetson Bennett handle it? Who's done such a great job all year long, but is now losing the confidence of the fans.
Well, I mean, the problem is that we sort of saw, like, number one, the defense, that's on Kirby. Like, them not showing up and not being prepared and just sort of getting toasted by an Alabama offense that could barely move the football against Auburn, that's on Kirby. Like, that's a Kirby Smart problem because it's not the athletes, right? It's not the players. Like, we know how good they are. I think Stetson Bennett, we sort of asked that question all season. We said, is he good enough when you get into a game against a team with national championship talent, is Stetson Bennett good enough to run this offense? Has the offense evolved enough that when they play somebody with equal talent, they're not going to go right back to bully ball and play like sort of again 2011 Alabama? Like what is he? And I think whether Kirby Smart plays JT Daniels or not, it becomes a huge storyline. To your point, like we're going to be asking that question at halftime in the first quarter. I mean, like, why didn't JT Daniels play in the second half if they were being blown out so badly? I think these are fair questions. And honestly, it's hard to understand why if JT Daniels was clearly better, which I believe he is more talented, not more athletic, but more talented than Stetson Bennett, why isn't he in the game? Why isn't he taking snaps? Why didn't they get him more reps during the regular season? What is it that they see that we don't see? and that will be a storyline. If they lose to Michigan or Alabama again, unfortunately, it will probably come down to, especially if the defense plays better than it did on Saturday, which I imagine it will, it's just going to come down to one dude that we've all been pointing to for the better part of 12 months. Can you win a national championship with Stetson Bennett? And the answer by most people has been no up until this point. They were just so good on defense that they didn't need anything on offense for the last six, eight games of the season. They needed something different on Saturday, and it wasn't just his fault. The defense was terrible, but I expect that to be fixed. So the question is, can they fix the offense? And we won't know that until they play Michigan.
Hey, Braden, last thing we'll get you out of here. A subject we've covered today, you have so much going on in college football with the transfer portal, name, image, likeness deals, which have been a huge talking point over the last 6 months or so. College coaching salaries just ballooning, it looks like. Good for the sport, bad for the sport, you don't care. What do you think about everything that's happening?
I mean, it's not my money. It's all monopoly money. I think the athletes who do all the work should get paid. So however we make that happen, however we make the system more equitable for the people doing the most work and putting their bodies on the line, I think this is America. They should get compensated. So I always find it funny arguing against that as like an American citizen. Like, well, either you believe in capitalism or you don't. And so other than that, like, if you get paid $12 million to be a head coach and the market's going to pay you $12 million, then that's what you're worth. So it's hard to argue with all the numbers. I mean, we're going to see the TV revenue packages go up and, you know, all this stuff. Like, I think what's best for the sport is, you know, athletes being compensated and ideally a more equitable championship. How do you go about doing those two things with, like, all the different interests at play and the politics of it all? And, I don't know, guys. You need, like, six lawyers just to start answering that question. And but that's, again, as a capitalist pig, I'm all for what the market is going to pay you. And if a coach is going to make $15 million, I mean, we've seen Nick Saban, he's probably underpaid, right, at Alabama, like making $10 million a year, probably worth more than that, actually. So I don't have a problem with, like, get what you can get, man. I'm all for that. I just think the athletes deserve a big slice of the pie as well.
Hey, Braden, what is going on at 440 Sports right now?
Fringe Element, SEC Podcast, that's the big one there. Of course, every single Wednesday, Stephen Godfrey, myself, Aaron Dugan, talked about the playoff, the championship game in Atlanta, talked about the Heisman, Brian Kelly's accent, many things on that show. So make sure you tune into that. And then, well, you know, we got the Preds Pod, Gold Standard out on Thursdays, Club and Country about Nashville SC on Tuesdays. We got all kinds of Titans podcasts. Got media, sports and business podcasts on Fridays, Lamestream Sports. We got the Daily, the 440 up every single morning. You type in 440 to your podcast app, and you'll there's like 14 shows in there. You can't miss us.
You will find something for you, several shows for you, I would say, from 440 Sports. Hey, Braden, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you so much, and we will talk to you again next week.
Yep, always a pleasure, guys. Thanks.
Braden Gall joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.
Braden Gall touching on Brian Kelly's fake accent. You weren't here to chime in on it. One of Joel's face-off questions on Monday was who had the best fake Southern accent? Eric Cain went with Michael from The Office when they were playing the game. I do declare.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that was a solid one. I went with an oldie but a goodie, James Vanderbeek. I don't want your life in Varsity Blues. Who would you go with? I know I'm putting you on the spot.
Off the top of my head, Daniel Craig. Did you see Knives Out?
Yes. Great movie.
How about that one?
Great Southern accent. Yeah. Or fake Southern accent. Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good nominee.
Yeah. So I'd have to put some more time into it, but that comes to mind pretty quick. It's a good movie. I liked it.
Great movie.
Yeah. Really entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah.
Couple of twists.
It is so weird how they have to integrate cell phones now into movies, but it's so true because everybody, if you had a movie without cell phones, it would be like dated 1999 at the latest.
You know what's new to the viewing list? The morning show.
Oh, are you in? You know, Bill Simmons hate watches that. He absolutely hates the show, can't stop watching it.
All of the characters are
outrageous.
Yeah.
That's
many of them despicable, and I don't know that I can get enough of it. It's quite a show.
Accurate representation of TV shows, of those that format of TV show.
I'd like to think not. But yeah, Steve Carell, Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon, they're great.
Steve Carell, his career post-Office, I did not know it was going to be this good. And he is an incredible actor.
He's hit it out of the park.
Yep. He has. He's come a long way from the early hair plugs stages of The Office.
Yeah, so I give it 2 thumbs up, The Morning Show. Love it.
Okay, so you're 2 thumbs up.
It's not going to make you feel great about people, I'll tell you that, though. We'll come back for a final segment. We will hit the Power Poll presented by 865-AXE. We'll get you to Sports Talk at 3 o'clock right here on 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thanks for being with us as we begin the final segment of the show. Hope you've had a great Wednesday so far. News we didn't discuss, but glad to see this. Tiger Woods announced that he will be playing in the PNC Championship along with his son, Charlie. He tweeted out, "I will be playing as a dad and couldn't be more excited and proud." So
man,
Tiger
that is
and
cool.
Charlie back on the course.
Yeah, very cool. I'm loving the
Charlie's
Tiger content.
Charlie's bombs away from what I remember there off the tee.
Yeah. And he's playing at the right place, man. He'll probably be like at IMG Academy at some point in time with his golf career. But man, it's exciting, and I'm so glad that Tiger's okay and he's back out there. Like, I don't know how competitive he will ever be again, but you hear about it with golf and tennis that it's a sport you can keep for life, and that's why you should encourage your kids to play, because it can grow with you and you just adjust your game and different things as you get older. And you would hate for him to just not ever be able to play, you know, something that's meant so much to him. And I mean, and luckily he's going to at least recover to a point where he can still play some golf.
Yeah.
And then we'll see how the career continues.
Also, I'd missed this, that former Arizona Cardinals wide receiver Frank Sanders got a Cliff Kingsbury tattoo because he's
so good.
He was critical of Kingsbury, said if the Cardinals beat the San Francisco 49ers without Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins in week 9, he would get a tattoo. So he did. And today Kingsbury was told about Sanders getting the tattoo in Kingsbury's honor. Cliff was asked if he had ever had something done like that by another player, and he said, "Not a male," was Cliff Kingsbury's response.
What a flex.
If the Cowboys win the Super Bowl, will you get a Mike McCarthy tattoo?
100% no. Oh my gosh. Don't you remember the whole Mark Sanchez, what's his name? That was the Jets coach, one of the Ryan
Rex
brothers.
Ryan.
Yeah, Rex Ryan, like that whole tattoo. And he's like, "No, it wasn't really Mark. It was just like a generic Jets player." He's like, "It looks just like him. I don't know."
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's just so wild. No, 100%, I think Mike McCarthy. I would never want any sort of reference. And I'm not like an anti-tattoo person either. I would just never want any sort of reference of him on myself.
What about Dak or Micah Parsons?
Impact Micah, rookie. Man, he's incredible.
Yep, he's a player. All right, we have just a few minutes to go. Sports Talk will take over at 3 o'clock as we wrap things up with today's Power Poll. Presented by 865-AXE, 865-AXE.com. We have our top 5 SEC basketball teams. Not the best showing by Tennessee last night, certainly not by Florida a couple of nights ago. Joel Silverberg, would you like to lead us off with your top 5 basketball teams in the SEC?
In number 5, I've got Auburn. The net rankings, the Ken Pom rankings, they love the Tigers. Wins over Loyola, Chicago, Syracuse, and Central Florida. Only loss is to a pretty good UConn team. Number 4, I've got Tennessee. They've lost to 2 good teams. That was not a good showing last night, especially against a Texas Tech team whose previous 6 wins, those opponents all had a combined 1 victory on the season. So 5 winless teams that Texas Tech had beat, and then a 1-6 Grambling State team before beating Tennessee last night. So I'm knocking the Vols for a little bit for that one. Number 3, Kentucky. Haven't beaten anybody, but they've taken care of business, and there's no shame in a season-opening loss to Duke. Number 2, Alabama. They have the league's best win over Gonzaga, but lost to Iona. Number 1, Arkansas, pretty much because I feel like the Razorbacks are just at the front of like a short-track speed skating race right now. They just haven't slipped up yet. So wins over Kansas State and Cincinnati, don't have a loss. So I think right now Arkansas is just at number 1, kind of by default.
Okay.
Heather Harrington, your top five SEC basketball teams.
I like it. In an honorable mention, I'm going to go with the Auburn Tigers. So just on the outside looking in. At number five, I've got the Kentucky Wildcats. I've got Tennessee coming in at number four. At number three, I'm going to put LSU in there. The net rankings love them. They're a top 20 KenPom team. So definitely somebody to pay attention to and undefeated. So I still don't quite know how good they are. I'll put them in at number three. I've got Arkansas at number two. And because they do have the best win, I'm going to go with Alabama, defending champs, being back in that number one spot for me.
Man, big weekend for Heather. Your Tide win, the SEC
just
championship.
Disgusting. And then the basketball team, I literally was hurting. Yeah. I was hurting after this weekend.
Yep. As a friend of mine put it, good for Alabama. Those fans deserve it. When the basketball team was able to get the win against Gonzaga hours after another SEC title. My top five, very similar to Joel's. I have LSU in the honorable mention category for one reason. You got to play somebody here. Part of it, I'm looking at, are you playing teams? Because the month of December, it's not as much about the results as the schedule. So play somebody. They're good, though. Auburn is number five on my list. I have Tennessee number four, Kentucky number three, Arkansas number two, and I am giving Alabama the Gonzaga bump. They're really good. And Arkansas schedule, not bad, but not as good. So I'll put Alabama number one on the power poll. A vote for Arkansas, two for the Tide. With today's power poll, the top five SEC basketball teams. The power poll every day is presented by 865-AXE, where Knoxville goes to throw. Find them online, 865-AXE.com. Heather, tomorrow we will be at Second Harvest Food Bank of East Tennessee. It's going to be a very important day, double your donation day. We'll be telling you more about it all day long on the Sports Animal, but we are excited to be out there tomorrow.
We are so pumped to be out there and helping our friends at Second Harvest Food Bank. Of course, we have the most generous listeners, especially this time of year. And don't forget, if it's a $3 donation, that means it's a $6 donation at the end of the day. $10 will be $20 as everything gets doubled. And they've even raised the doubled total to like $600,000. So that's the goal for tomorrow, as we would love to be able to clear $1 million with double your donation day tomorrow.
So we'll have a big day tomorrow. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll talk sports and we'll talk about a very important cause out at Second Harvest Food Bank. Thanks for being with us today. For Joel Silverberg and Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. Sports Talk is coming up next right here on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast, wherever you listen.